Good morning, all of you out there that are joining us. It is my pleasure to be able to share with you this morning. Today, we're continuing on our series, Hello, My Name is Jesus. And today, I'm going to talk about how he is totally free. You know, kids are funny. They are unique, and they are amazing, tiny little humans. And the younger the child is, I feel like the more free that child is. They dress how they feel. They creatively style their hair any way they want. They don't even understand social graces. They don't have filters in between their minds and their mouths. It just comes out. And it's quite an amazing characteristic that you have from the beginning. When my daughter, Faith, who's now almost 15, when she was quite young, a little under 3 years old, my in-laws came to visit. And at the time, we were living in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Also at the time, my father-in-law was having a few health issues, and he actually had a catheter at that time. Now, this was a little awkward, but we were rolling with it. We were rolling with it. Until the moment came when my in-laws are sitting at the dining room table. I'm in the kitchen just doing my thing. It's an open concept, so we're kind of all together. And my little girl, Faith, walks in the entryway. She pauses for a moment and looks, and then she says in a very big way, "Something smells bad." And it's that thing right there. And she points at the catheter peg. I mean, it didn't smell bad. It's totally contained. It was impossible. But this was Faith's way of pointing out an oddity in the room and making me die a little on the inside. A few years later, our in-laws came to visit again, and now we were living in California. Faith is about 4 years old, and my father-in-law was on continuous oxygen. He had a concentrator that would take room air and would turn it into pure oxygen, which was really cool because then he could not have to deal with tanks and things like that. And he also had an oxygen line that could go, it was super long and could go all through the house. Very convenient. Well, he's sitting on the couch one day, and Faith walks in, and we're just all talking and doing our thing, and he might have been a little distracted doing something, and she looks at the line, the oxygen line that's laying on the floor, and she kind of walks closer and then closer, and then it's right in front of her feet, and then she takes one more step down and presses on the oxygen line. She looks at her feet, and then she looks at Grandpa and waits, as if, I wonder what's going to happen next. Now, I didn't know in this moment, should I laugh, because this is kind of funny, or should I be afraid, very afraid, that she thought of doing this? Kids are funny. Where my daughter Faith was subtle but mischievous, my son, who just turned 18, was observant and outspoken. This made going out in public very challenging, obviously. So we would go out, but it could be embarrassing at times. Josiah, his mind was a free, open space. There was no filter. There was no restraint when it came in, it just came out. Have you ever seen the movie Christopher Robin? The new one. Okay, so in the movie, there's a scene where they're on a train, and Christopher Robin's there and Winnie the Pooh, and Christopher Robin is kind of getting a little annoyed at Winnie the Pooh at this time, and Winnie the Pooh is just sitting by the window, and he's looking out, and he's doing this. He's just saying random words. He's like, tree, bush, bird. And it begins to build the frustration in Christopher Robin where he's like, ugh, like kind of like, what are you doing, Pooh? Like, why are you keep saying this? And he's like, oh, I'm playing a game. It's called Say What You See. Well, Josiah used to play that game, Say What You See, but it wasn't as cute as Winnie the Pooh because he would say things that were completely inappropriate and that you should not say in public. So we would be in a place, a mall, a store, anywhere. Could be church, doesn't matter. And Josiah would just unfiltered say these things. Super embarrassing a lot of the times. However, we got smarter. We got smarter. We started to notice that Josiah would get a look on his face before these words came out that he saw. And when we saw that look, we knew what to do. One, if we were too far away, then we would just scream words like, wah, wah, like, it didn't even matter what it was. Didn't matter. We would just scream over top of him so whatever he said, other people wouldn't hear. Two, if we were close, we would run and grab his mouth and cover his entire face so that he couldn't speak. I mean, he would still try, but no one could hear him. So we look like crazy people, but we were winning at parenting. Kids are funny. They are unfiltered and they are free. As we get older, we tend to get less free. We're careful. And I wonder if we lose more in freedoms than what we gain in social graces. Jesus walked in true freedom. And he paid a price so that we too can have that freedom. John 8:36 says, "Who the Son has set free is truly free." But to know what our freedom could be, we first will look at what his freedom was. Now, in short, what was Jesus free of? Everything. Obviously, I'm not going to cover everything today. I'm going to keep it short for time's sake, and in efforts to keep it classic, we're going to focus on three. So the first thing was Jesus was totally free from the list of do's and don'ts. Jesus was totally free from the voices that he would hear, and Jesus was totally free from the view, the perceptions of people. Number one, the list. Jesus was free from the list. He was free from the rules, from legalism. See, we struggle to perform the checklist of the do's and don'ts, the thing that we think we're supposed to do. We struggle the practices that we've been told we are supposed to do. We worry that if we don't hold up the law, then we will be condemned by it. There's another group that felt this way, and they constantly were trying to attain perfection in this area, and this was the Pharisees. They were so intent on keeping the letter of the law that they lost the spirit of it. In Matthew 12, verse 1 and 2, it was the Sabbath, and Jesus and his disciples were strolling through a field, and they were hungry. And there was grain, and so they started pulling up the heads of grain and munching on them because they were hungry. The Pharisees reported to Jesus. They said, "Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath." Jesus says, "Really? Did you ever read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? How they entered the sanctuary and started eating the bread that was just for the priests? Did you ever hear about God's law and that the priests carrying out their temple duties would break the Sabbath all the time and nothing happened to them?" There's far more at stake here than religion. If you had any idea what the scripture meant, I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual, then you wouldn't be nitpicking at this. "See, the Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath," he said. He's in charge. The religious police were making their rounds. They're breaking the law. "Look, Jesus, what are you going to do about it?" See, Jesus was perfectly free from religious traditions. He was perfectly free from the list. Number two, Jesus was perfectly free from the voices. The voices, what are the voices? Public opinion. John 8 verses 1 to 11 recaps the story of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus is teaching. He's teaching a group of people. And the Pharisees drag this woman and they throw her on center stage as a public spectacle for everyone to see. And then they start telling everyone about what she has done. And then they say, "What are you going to do about it, Jesus?" Jesus doesn't even say anything. He bends down and he starts writing with his finger in the dirt. And then they press him for an answer. When they finally press him so much, he stands up And he says, the sinless one among you, go first. Go ahead, throw the stone. Because the punishment for adultery was death by stoning. So he says, go ahead, throw it. One by one, they dropped their stones and walked away. When they were all gone, he looked at the woman and he said, where are your condemners? She said, they're gone. He says, well, you can go too. But stop doing what you were doing. Stop sinning. See, Jesus didn't cave to the voices of public opinion. He doesn't bow to that or public demonstrations of a big show to cause a scene. He didn't lower the standard, giving approval to her action, but neither did he give in to the pressure of the people. See, we need to make sure that we are not listening to the wrong voices. God should have the final word in your life and in my life and over my situation and over your situation. The news, Facebook posts, Insta stories do not get to hold that placement in your life. The word of God is the only word that can and will stand the truth, the test of time against all the conflicting messages that we are hearing everywhere. His word is consistent. His word is true. His word is sure. And his word outlasts the others. Don't fall to the temptation to align your life with hyped up stories, with fake news, with fear mongering, with negative thinking, criticism, worry. His word is sure. Jesus was free from the voices. And number three, Jesus was free from the view. Jesus was free from the perceptions of what people thought about him. See, there's one thing about Jesus is that he was famously known for the company he kept. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 and 11, he was having supper, it says, at Matthew's house with all his friends, his close followers, his disciples. A lot of questionable characters came and joined them. And of course, when the Pharisees saw he was keeping this type of company, they instantly started talking to his friends, talking to his disciples. And they started saying things like this: what kind of example is your teacher to be hanging with these type of people? And they started calling them like crooks and riffraffs. Jesus hears what they're saying, of course, and he handles it. He stands up, he's like, hey, who needs a doctor? The sick or the healthy? Go figure out what the scripture says. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. See, public perception can be a messy manipulator in your life. But Jesus was free from what people thought of him. He had a confidence in who he was, which released a freedom in what he came to do. Jesus was free. He was free. He mingled with the mangled. He took tea time with tax collectors. He released peace over prostitutes. He toppled over tables. He walked through walls and he slept in storms. Jesus was free. He hung out with the scum of society, the people the religious people wouldn't have dreamed of spending time with. See, sometimes we comfortably disassociate ourselves from those people because we feel off the hook because we can just give our money or we can just give our resources and someone else can go love them. I don't know what people will think of me if I do that or if I hang with them. Jesus was free from this. He was free from what people thought of him. Are we free? Do the views of people prevent our love from being fully demonstrated? Public perception can be a powerful pull in your life. It's crucial. It's very important. We have a good view. So what is our view? When life looks wrong, take another look. When Jesus was away in a far and desolate place and the crowds were following him, they became hungry. And the disciples came with this news as if he didn't know. Hey, the people are hungry and they're about to get hangry. This was concerning as there were over 5,000 of them. Jesus had the solution. But first, the disciples had some opinions. They had a view. They saw the hunger. They saw that all they had was 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Should we send them away to go buy their food, Jesus? Should we go get the food for them? Should we go spend our money and bring back the food? What should we do here? He says, just give me the loaves and the fishes. He takes them in his hands. He prays. He looks up. He looks up to heaven. He blesses them and distributes them. Distributes them to everyone there. And they had leftovers for days. See, sometimes we just need to take a second look. Public perception can be a vast view, but take another look. See, just because it's bigger doesn't mean it's better. Just because they're louder doesn't make them right. And just because more agree doesn't mean it's true. I can only imagine the doubts, the opinions, the suggestions in the group that day. You can't tell me there was that big of a crowd and there wasn't a lot of, we should do this, we should do that, what about this, what about that? Don't let the crowd swing your vote. Take a second look. Jesus was free from the views of the people. He didn't live under the perception of the crowd. Jesus was, will be, and always, always, forever will be totally free. For us to access this freedom, there's a starting point. The starting line for freedom is relationship. In relationship, see, I will come to realize who I am. When I know who I am confident in that. When I am confident, I no longer feel a slave to the list, the do's and don'ts, the voices of public opinion, and the view of perception of what people will think of me. I'm free from rules, I'm free from opinions, I'm free from perception. See, when I know who I am, I know my role. And when I know my role, I'm confident in my assignment. And when my assignment can be carried out the way it was intended, without restraints, without pressure to perform. Take a minute right now where you are and ask yourself these questions. How does my freedom compare to Jesus? Do I live under the pressure of the list of do's and don'ts? Do I allow the voices of public opinion to sway me from my convictions? Do I give the views of people more access into my heart and my life than they should have? Matthew 10:38. It says it instructs us to take up our cross and follow him in his example. See, sometimes we look at this as the struggle, right? We're struggling for Jesus, and that is true. We should take up our cross and follow him, but his example was also freedom. So follow his example also in freedom. So it's time to trash those lists. It's time to turn off the voices that you've been listening to and to change the view, to take a second look. See, you can't be like Jesus just one way. You either are or you aren't. And personally, I want it all. I don't want to just suffer for Jesus, but I want to soar for Jesus. Some of you, I feel today, have been carrying around these pressures for years. You've lived under the list of do's and don'ts, trying to achieve something in your relationship with people and your relationship with God. Some of you have tried to do all the right things. You've tried to listen to the opinions of people and trying to please them, or I wonder what they think, and I wonder, or I don't want to do that because I wonder what I will look like, and I don't want to look bad. Freedom is here for you today. You do not have to live under that pressure. That is not what God intended for your life. Jesus was totally free. And that freedom is here for you today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone that's joined us today. In every city and country and place, even across the world. I thank you that your desire for them today is to live in total freedom as Jesus did. Because who the Son has set free is truly free. I pray for the weight and the restrictions that some of us watching today have been carrying around and it can never quite achieve that freedom, that wholeness, that will of the Father that they know it's on their life, but they can never quite get that to that fulfillment because they're just trying to do all the right things to try to please all the wrong people. I pray for freedom from that and freedom in you today. I pray for those that do not have a relationship with you, that if they're out there listening right now as they feel their heart beating a little faster than normal, that they would realize that you are calling them today. You are calling them home. I pray that they would answer the call to relationship where freedom starts. Father, bring us back as little children, totally free in your presence and for your kingdom. In your name, amen. God bless you today. Those that are watching, if you responded today or if maybe you would like to connect with a pastor or you have some questions, you need help, anything, I would encourage you today to text the word Jesus to the number 619-464-3077.